Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Support from Armchair comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I got the kit from Manscaped. They got this Lomar 2.0 that's very delicate. You don't have to worry about any nicks or snags. It's got skin-safe technology. And there's also in the kit, there's some other goodies as well, such as the crop preserver. It's a basically a ball deodorant, which you know pretty much you apply when you're done doing your thing. And if you go to manscaped.com, use the promo code armchair, you get 20% off your order, and you get free shipping. I mean, they got you can reorder the products. Also, with your kit, you get a body wash. That's really nice. So, guys, check it out. I mean, ladies, if you're listening, this is a great holiday gift idea. Or if you know somebody that does this, it's a great gift as well. So go to manscaped.com, use the promo code armchair, and save some balls today. All right, guys, welcome into our Panther Rants podcast, or Pit Panther Rants, or other sports rants, I should say. Watt Harris, your host. Brought to you by Armchair Media. Take a seat. Happy Halloween to you guys, as it's October 31st as I'm recording this. I sincerely hope that a lot of you have moved on from the Miami game. And I'm sure a lot of you have, because that's what we do as Pitt fans. After a disappointing loss, we find, you know, we move on eventually. We get pissed off. We're not gonna go to the games anymore. We're not gonna watch. We're not gonna waste our Saturdays. We're not gonna do this. We're not gonna do that. Then by Wednesday, you're getting ready for the game for Saturday. And Pitt has Georgia Tech this weekend. Now it's a 4 o'clock Eastern time kickoff, which is odd to me. I mean, it's three p.m. Central here. Georgia Tech is 2-5, 1-3 in the ACC. They've been going through a whole lot of changes this year because, well, they're migrating from the whole Paul Johnson era, which is the option game, and they're trying to go to a more traditional type of offense. Well, they're going from old school to more traditional, to like a more of a spread offense. And, you know, they're having their growing pains, say the least. But their last game was 2 weeks ago. They beat Miami 28-21. You know, I watched the game itself. I mean, I rewatched it thanks to YouTube. It seems like Miami took Georgia Tech very lightly because of how bad they are. And the thing about Georgia Tech is they're not somebody you can take lightly. They offensively, they're not really that good, but they're fast. So you'll see a lot of runs, a lot of misdirection from them. You know, the quarterback position, they're not really that good. You know, so Pitt pretty much defensively just has to get pressure on the quarterback. They have to stop the running game, and they got to keep the quarterback contained as well. So this is basically another type of spread, re-option type of offense Pitt defense has to face. What I think Pitt defense needs to do is keep the intensity like they've had all year and not fall asleep on this team, because that's what Miami did, and that's why Miami lost to them. But defensively, you know, they're not that great either. I don't know if it's because they've been on the field so much. That's a possibility, and I think it's a lot. That's pretty much a lot of it. So when you're on, when you spend your entire, you know, most of your time on the field, you're going to get run down. But they had a bye week, so who knows what we'll see. They may blow us up. Statistically, they're averaging 18 points a game, but their defense is allowing 30 points a game. They're allowing 411 yards of total, offense a game. And it seems that Georgia Tech, their biggest weakness is the running game, stopping the running game. They're allowing 226 yards on the ground per game, passing wise 185 yards. So what Pitt needs to do is basically offensively get the running game going. They outrushed Miami last week, 176 to 54, and they mixed in a different types of backs. They had three backs that contributed. So what I'd love to see is Pitt establish the ground game here. And if you do that, you're taking the load off your passing game. And I think it's probably for the best, because after what happened last week, where lots of drop passes, interceptions, fumbles. So I would like to see our running game take us to victory. Not sure if it'll happen, but we'll see. Obviously, Pitt on the year, they're allowing a little under 300 yards a game. As Georgia Tech is averaging 168 yards rushing a game. Pitt is allowing only 85 yards rushing a game. So that's obviously a big collision course, because the running game is pretty much Georgia Tech's bread and butter. Because, you know, passing-wise, they're only passing for 145 yards a game, and that's pretty pathetic in terms of college football. Whereas Pitt's averaging 254 yards passing a game. And they're averaging 127 yards rushing a game. So, you know, Pitt's total offense isn't too bad. The running numbers could be a little better, but that just is what it is. But what's weird about this is that Pitt's offense is averaging 21 points a game, but the defense is allowing 21.4 points a game. I mean, that's pretty much how close, you know, these Pitt games have been. So it's quite obvious what I like to see. You know, for Saturday, I love to see the running game take us to victory. I think they can this time around, because I don't think, you know, they looked a lot better last week. And I think if you're running against Miami, you can run against these guys. And it takes some heat off your passing game. And if anything, it allows your passing game to open up more because you're running. So we'll see what happens here. But obviously on defense, Pitt needs to stop the run, keep their quarterback from running, and force the pass and force turnovers. But overall, the defense pretty much can't take this team lightly. They can't fall asleep at the wheel, because that's what happened with Miami, as I've reiterated a bunch of times. Now, Tech's last three games, they're averaging around 20 points a game. I mean, North Carolina, they scored 22, Duke 23, Miami 21. And that's, you know, I guess a big improvement after the Temple game where they lost 24-2. But, you know, Tech is going to score points, and that's why Pitt's defense needs to shut them down and go from there. But I like Pitt in this one. I think they win by at least, I'm going to say at least a touchdown or a field goal, because a lot of times this game tends to be close. Well, that, you know, Paul Johnson's gone, but still. Pitt's minus 7.5, over under 43. I don't know. I think this goes under. But I'm not sure if they cover the 7.5, though. I think it'd be nice if they did. It'd be nice if they blew out Georgia Tech. It'd be kind of like sending a statement to the rest of the conference. But, we'll play it by ear. Now, as we look at the rest of the ACC, we got Wake Forest, NC State. This should be an interesting game, but I think Wake will win this one. NC State's been having some growing pains as of late, and I thought they would challenge Clemson this year, and it just doesn't look like it. So, yeah, I'm going with Wake. Boston College and Syracuse, an old school Big East matchup. Syracuse favored by 3, which I find kind of odd. Over under on this game is 6 is 59.5. Both offenses can score. I don't know, though. It's at Syracuse, but I think I like Boston College in this one. It depends on which offense shows up, but I think Boston College takes, you know, shows up and wins. Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. Virginia Tech at 5-2. And Notre Dame at 5-2 at 16th ranked. I've thought Notre Dame this year would be on the outside looking in, or at least be in the discussion for the college football playoff, but two losses changed that. Virginia Tech, they start off, you know, the season, you know, obviously they had that disastrous Duke game. And now they're at 5-2. They've recovered with some wins. Notre Dame favored by 18. I think Virginia Tech will cover this. But I think Notre Dame will win it overall. It's at South Bend. They're going to win. Miami and Florida State. This is an interesting one because you got the disaster at Florida State with Willie Taggart, and you got Miami, who is having some issues of their own. On paper, you would think that Florida State would win this one. But I think Miami pulls this one off. And if they do, Willie Taggart pretty much can say goodbye. Clemson facing Wofford. Easy game there. And we got a really critical matchup here. At 7:30 at night, we got Virginia at North Carolina. Both are 3-2 in the ACC. Pitt's 2-2 right now. But this game will be who determines who has control of the Coastal. Because Virginia's one team we have to worry about, but so is North Carolina, because we have yet to face North Carolina. And if North Carolina wins, they take control of the Coastal. Pitt has yet to face North Carolina. And after this game with Georgia Tech, Pitt has next Saturday off, and they won't play for another week. So they'll play. And their next game is at home against North Carolina, 11-14. So this game is going to have a lot of implications. So Pitt, if they want to stay in contention for the Coastal, they got to win Saturday. They got to win. Well, actually, it's a Thursday game for North Carolina. It's a Thursday night game at 7. So they got to win that, and they got to beat Virginia Tech, which is, you know, 9 days later after that, and they got Boston College they need to close out. So long story short, Pitt's gonna have to win out to have any chance of getting into the Coastal. They're gonna have to beat North Carolina head on, and they gotta hope that Virginia loses one more game, because I don't see really, you know, anybody else being much of a challenge for them after that. So basically, Pitt's two main worries are Virginia and North Carolina. They gotta hope Virginia drops one more game, and they gotta face North Carolina head to head and hopefully get rid of that hex. Look at the rest of the top 25 for this week. Tonight, West Virginia goes to Baylor to play. Baylor is minus 18 point favorite. I think Baylor's gonna blow them out. But it's after a bye week, so who knows? They may win and not cover. Michigan, 14th ranked, facing Maryland. They should blow them out. A big SEC matchup. Georgia and Florida. 8th ranked Georgia faces 6th ranked Florida. Florida's been a tough team to play at home. And Georgia's been kind of iffy. I like Florida in this one. Utah and Washington. I mean, I was a big fan of Washington earlier this year. And They've had disappointing season. I think Utah cleans them out, and they move to 8-1. That's one team I think people are slowly ignoring. They're Utah is ninth ranked, but they're 7-1, 4-1 overall. And if they went out, they could be in discussion for the playoff. But as far as these rest of these games go, a big AAC matchup, SMU and Memphis, 15th ranked, versus SMU versus 24th Memphis. I like SMU in that one. Oregon's got USC at night. Nothing really, much there. But all in all, there's a few decent games. But overall, it's a kind of a boring weekend for college football. There's not, there's Florida and Georgia, but there's really not much else this weekend. Now, I don't think it's going to get any better. I mean, hopefully it gets better by the, as weeks go on. But obviously, we're getting a lot of bye weeks. A lot of teams having bye weeks. So, yeah, kind of an undesirable type of slate there for college football. I mean, if you're a hardcore fan like me, yeah, you're going to watch it. But if you're looking for some big showings, big games, there's just Florida and Georgia. That's about it. And if you're an ACC guy, there's tons of big games. You got North Carolina going up against Virginia. That's a big ACC coastal matchup. And of course, if you're a Pitt fan, you love Georgia. You love the Georgia Tech game. Now the World Series happened last night, and it's over. Nationals won. I watched the game and I wasn't too surprised about the outcome. The Astros got hits. Scherzer wasn't at his best last night, but the Astros kept leaving runners on base. And the issues I have with the Astros is they always try to hit home runs when a simple base hit would do as much damage as a homer, especially if you got runners on base. Like, I watched one where, there was two guys on base and Yordan Alvarez flied out the center, and their flagship station tweets out, Yordan just missed a three-run homer. And if you looked at the replay, he wasn't even close to the center field wall. And I'm like, a single could have scored some runs too. If he would just, hit a single. I don't know. They yanked Zach Greinke after 80 pitches. He gave up that home run, but the thing about Greinke is they didn't let him battle. I mean, he gets himself in these jams, and usually he gets himself out. And this time around, they yanked him, and it was disastrous. I mean, they fell behind 3-2 because their offense – which sucked because their offense wasn't doing anything. I mean, the game was pretty much over when that ball hit the foul pole. That was it. The Astros had nothing left. I mean, for the most part, they choked. They recovered, being down 2-0. They go 3-2, and it's unfortunate. I mean, the Astros overall had a hell of a season. I mean, it could be worse. You were the Pirates. But they will always have the 2017 run. But I'm not sure. The thing about the Astros is, will they ever get back to the World Series after this? I don't know. I mean, the Yankees are surging. And, if they get Gerrit Cole, then their chances are heightened next year to get to the World Series. So I don't know. I mean... I'm thinking possibly their window's closing. And it doesn't help that your ace, Justin Verlander, loses 2 World Series games. But the thing about Verlander is without him, they don't get to the World Series. He didn't win a World Series game in 2017. But without him, they don't get to the World Series. And it's the same thing with this whole thing here. Without Verlander, they don't get to the World Series. But it's just, for as much of the lap as they had, it's still a little disappointing. And the Osuna trade, they took a big risk, and I don't think it's – I really don't think looking at it now, I don't think it was worth the risk at all. I mean, the guy didn't pitch all that great last night. He was horrible. And, you know, for the most part, the Astros made this risk, and it was awkward. It was very awkward for the sports media in Houston to talk about. And look what you get. You end up with really nothing. I mean, you trade for the guy, you get knocked out by Boston last year, and you lose in Game 7 of the World Series. And he didn't pitch all that great. So, over and all, it really wasn't worth his baggage. In fact, even if they won the World Series, it still wouldn't be worth his dealing with his baggage, because nobody wants to be associated with that. None at all. But you know, if you watch the game, as the game went on, you could tell the more it went, it stayed at 1-0, 2-0. Eventually, the Nationals were going to wake up and put the game away, and that's what they did. And hey, more power to them. Congrats to them. Now to close out, I guess there's a big shakeup in the sports meme industry. Deadspin has had a mass exodus this week. And I did some reading up on it. And basically what happened is that Deadspin got new management. And their new management brought in their people that they wanted. And basically decided to change philosophies. And they managed to clean house without lifting much of a finger. Here's the thing. That's pretty much what happens anywhere you'll work. You know, when you get new management, they usually bring in their own people. And then they find ways to clean house. And they do it in ways where they don't have to lift a finger as much. You know, they may They may do things to make your work-life environment miserable that you quit. And I've been there. I've seen it happen where they'll, you know, passively aggressively do stuff to you to piss you off enough that you'll resign or find another job elsewhere. And they did it here with the stick to sports type of thing. But, you know, I'm not crazy about Deadspin, never been. But I still find their direction to be kind of odd, because Deadspin's always been, you know, what they've done. So changing up kind of is puzzling to me. I think it's a bad move. I think it's a horrible move, actually. I mean, if you're going to go to this new direction, I hope the people you brought in, because that's what's going to happen here, is now that they're getting these people to quit, they get to bring in other people that share what they want to do, their philosophies. And that's how, like I said before, anywhere you work, that's how it always goes. You know, I had director, one job I worked at, we had a director, he left, and we got a new IT director. And the guy even said to me, he said, my organizations, I'm lucky if maybe 2% of the original staff stays with his organization. In other words, pretty much everybody leaves. And I think for me, I happen to be one of them eventually that he would get rid of. I mean, it was surprising to me. I mean, basically what happened is you know, we had a few higher ups in our group leave, and he brought his own people, and in turns they brought in their own people. And of course, you saw a lot of favoritism with their people. They, you know, whereas they made, you know, since you were the original person, you know, before, you know, you obviously were up against things. Like a lot of stuff that they, a lot of stuff that he would complain about, he would let his people get away with that stuff. So, eventually for me, they cut my position and told me to take a position or else. So, that's just what happens in organizations. I mean, this is what's happening at Deadspin as well. I mean, they got new management. They brought their own people, and then they're obviously finding ways to, get rid of people without having to do much. In this case, they want to change directions. They want to go and stick to sports, and the people there, the original people there, they don't like it, so they're leaving. So I'm curious how the future of Deadspin goes. But yeah, I still find their decision making this is to be very odd, and I know there's a lot of people that are taking pleasure in this whole thing of them imploding. But the thing about Deadspin is Deadspin elevated a lot of these people. A lot of these people wouldn't be where they are without Deadspin. I mean, and for some that were relevant and they fell off from relevance, Deadspin made them relevant again. So, as much as they're taking pleasure in this, they're going to miss Deadspin because they're not going to have anybody to fight with anymore. I mean, it's going to be boring for them. But anyways, guys, I'm out. You guys have a good weekend. Have a safe Halloween. If trick-or-treating is available today for you guys. I know there's a lot of cancellations, but be safe. Hello, Pit Fire.